I listened to it really loud and sang along with it. And then I said, well, let's do that again. So I did it again. It was better the second time. So the song, it's about a young widow. And starts out kind of where it's been about a year since her husband passed away. And to kind of summarize it, she lives a life alone. And then she passes away. And the song kind of tells her story, basically. I'll spare you reading all the lyrics. I don't know that I could even get through all the lyrics. We've got a few of them here that I'm going to read to you. So, I'm not sure I'd make it through them. So this picks up just kind of in the middle of the song here. So in the song, then, when she passes away, the next part of the song goes like this. It says, just beyond the door, he will find her, taking her hand. I'll get there. Taking her hand, he softly says, and for the first time, you can open your eyes and see the world without your sorrow, where no one knows the pain you left behind. All the peace you could never find is waiting there to hold and keep you. Welcome to the first day of your life. Just open up your eyes. That's the name of the song, just open up your eyes. And then the last verse goes like this, just open up your eyes as I lay down tonight, safe on the other side, no more tears to cry. So, after I listened to that song, so it's not a gospel song, right? I don't know that they had any intent with it whatsoever like that, but it does have some gospel truth in it, right? I've even said, and I've shared with a couple people, that I'd like to have this song played at, not at my funeral because I don't want a funeral, but maybe a party afterwards. So, I think it's a really great one. So let's go back to Thursday morning. So I've listened to the song twice, sang along with it, and then it hit me. How many of us in this life need to open our eyes? Open up our eyes, as the lyrics go. So, we don't want to necessarily wait for anything to have us open up our eyes. So once I started thinking about that, then it just all came rushing to me, kind of like drinking out of a fire hydrant, maybe. Examples like the Israelites during and after the Exodus came to me. The Judges period. I was reading recently, 2 Chronicles there, where I think King Josiah, he was one of the kings of Judah. We'll talk about him later. Sunday morning, we've been talking about Peter, the Apostle Peter, in the book of Acts, and we're on chapters 2 and 3, and so thought about the first and the second recorded gospel sermons there in Acts 2 and 3. Thought about Revelation 2 and 3, the letters that Jesus writes to the churches in Asia there, and some of the things that he has to say to them about, hey, you might need to think about some things, kind of open your eyes and realize what's going on. I thought about Paul's sermon, I think it's recorded in Acts 26, where he's, I think, before King Agrippa, and he says, Paul, in a short time, are you going to try to convert me, try to make me a Christian? I'm paraphrasing, right? And that's when Paul says, I wish that everybody here that could hear me would be just like me, except for these chains. So he wished that everybody would open up their eyes. So I've got the idea now, and I've got the groundwork laid, but let's see if we can kind of make this all make sense and hopefully make it where it's not like one of my cryptic texts. My sons tell me that sometimes my texts are a little bit hard to understand, even after I proof them, and especially if I don't proof them. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. All right. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to be looking at some verses here. I didn't bring my Bible up with me because I've got all my scriptures down here on a piece of paper. So digital Bible, paper Bible, whatever you've got. So we're going to be looking at a few scriptures. Hopefully you'll want to turn there with me. All right, so here goes. What am I getting at? Let's talk about the Israelites first. They needed to open up their eyes. So in the book of Exodus, first one we're going to be looking at is Exodus 16, verses 2 through 4. But let's just talk for a few minutes here. So the Israelites that experienced the Exodus, they'd seen all the plagues that God brought on the Egyptians to try to convince them to let the Israelites go, culminating in the plague of the Passover, where all of the firstborn of the Israelites were spared, but all the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed, right? So they'd seen all that. They had left Egypt, and God had predisposed the Egyptians to them so that they would give them all of their riches and their jewels and their gold and silver and things like that as they left Egypt. These same Israelites had seen the Red Sea parted. They walked through on dry ground. They saw the Egyptian army that had been chasing them basically destroyed at the bottom of the Red Sea, right? But they still needed to open up their eyes. Exodus 16, 2 through 4 says, "Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness." You hear that? They complained. "And the children of Israel said to them, 'Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not.'" So God gave them manna, he gave them quail, he gave them water at different times whenever the land where they were dry. But they still grumbled against him. It's recorded in Exodus 32, you know, this is where Moses is up on Mount Sinai. God's giving him the commandments, and he's been up there a long time, but they say, "Aaron, you got to do something. We need to see a God before." So that's when they make the golden calf, right? So they needed to open up their eyes. Numbers 14 even tells us that during this time period of the Exodus, that it got so bad. This would be after the report of the 10 bad spies. They decided that, well, we want to find a leader that'll take us back to Egypt. So they tried to stone Moses and Aaron and go back to Egypt. Even though they had seen all these things, God had proved to them who he was, their eyes were still closed. We mentioned Judges earlier, so let's read Judges 21, verse 25. It says, "In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes." That kind of sums up the whole book of Judges for us, right? So we know that the Israelites, after Moses led them, Joshua led them. And scriptures tell us that while Joshua was alive and all of the people, the leaders that led along with Joshua there, that Israel followed and followed after God. But then when Joshua passed away, we know that they fell away, right? And they would fall away. God would send a different country to try and plague them, to do bad things to them. And then they would cry out to God, and he would send a judge, and they would come back to him. This is kind of a cyclic thing through the book of Judges. They opened their eyes, and then it only lasted so long, and then they just went back to doing their own thing. Not a good plan there. So that's the first one we'll talk about, the Israelites. And then the next thing we'll talk about is the example that came to my mind about King Josiah. So this is from 2 Kings. I think I said 2 Chronicles earlier, but this is from 2 Kings chapter 22. So we know King Josiah was really young. I think he was about 8 years old when he became king of Judah. And he was one of the, not the early kings, but one of the later kings of Judah. It says in the 18th year that he had sent people to the temple, to work on the temple, to clean up the temple. And they found the book of the law there. Evidently, it had been lost. We don't know for how long, but it had been lost. And so that's where we pick up in this story. 2 Kings 22, verses 11 through 13 says, "Now it happened, When the king heard the words of the book of the law, that he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king, saying, go inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. So, surprise, surprise, King Josiah thinks he's doing everything he needs to do here, doesn't even really know what God's law is because the book of the law has been lost, evidently. And he says here that our fathers hadn't listened to these words. So they needed to open their eyes, right? How did this happen? Well, obviously they were ignoring God all this time. And probably how it happened is fathers and mothers weren't passing God's law down to the next generation, to their kids. So it was a time where they needed to have their eyes opened up. All right, we're going to turn to the New Testament now. I mentioned the book of Acts, and that's where we're going to be going. So I told him in class the other morning that I love the book of Acts, and probably I love the book of Acts because growing up, I did not grow up in the church. I grew up in a denomination, and you know, I was in Bible class on Sunday morning and worship Sunday morning and evening, class on Wednesday. Where I went to class on Wednesday, they even had a pre-class class that I went to. So, I mean, I was there a lot, but we didn't talk about the book of Acts. I don't know why. Maybe a few stories about, you know, Paul being let down in a basket to save him from people in a city, but that was about it. But the book of Acts, it's about the beginning of the church, right? It's awesome. So, we'll give you a couple examples here about people that needed to open their eyes. We're going to start out in Acts 2, and then we'll be moving to Acts 3 and 4. So, Acts 2, we know that's kind of the first recorded gospel sermon. Peter preached it there the day of Pentecost. We've had the Holy Spirit come on Jesus' followers there as of tongues of fire, the scriptures tell us, and they all started talking in languages that they didn't know, but everybody around them that could speak those languages heard them talking in their languages, and then Peter preaches this long, powerful gospel sermon. And then we come to Acts 2, 37 through 39. So it says, when they'd heard this, when they'd heard Peter's preaching, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. So these are all Jewish people. They're all gathered in Jerusalem for Pentecost. They, as Jews, have been waiting on the Messiah, but part of what Peter had preached about is, hey guys, you had your eyes closed. You say you were looking for the Messiah, but the Messiah was here and you killed him. You turned him over to the Romans and then you denied him in front of the Romans. You asked for a murderer to be released and you had the Messiah killed. They needed to open up their eyes. Next one we'll look at is Acts 3. How soon this occurred after Peter's preaching at Pentecost, I'm not sure. But Scripture tells in Acts 3 that Peter and John were on their way to temple. Normal thing for them. They were Jews. They were headed to the temple for a time of prayer. And there's a lame man there. We find out later in chapter 4, you know, that this lame man had been lame more than 40 years. So he was lame from birth. And he's there, they put him there every day, and he was there begging alms, looking for some sort of gift from somebody. And Peter and John are there, they're coming by him, and Peter says, you know, look at me, we don't have silver or gold, but what we have we'll give to you. And Peter reached out his hand and grabbed him up and healed him through God's power there. So we know the story goes that he leaps up and he's leaping through there in the temple and he's praising God. But there were some people there with their eyes closed. That's where we pick up in Acts 3, verses 11 through 14. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you." So Peter had preached there. He had said, "Hey, look, it's in Jesus' name, the person that you had turned over to the Romans, you had killed, it's in his name that this man was made whole." And if that wasn't bad enough, then the leaders of the Jews drug Peter and John. It was in the evening, so they actually had him put in jail, and then they brought him before the council the next day. So how does that work? So Peter and John, through the power of the Holy Spirit, heal a guy lame for more than 40 years, and they throw him in jail. Sounds like typical government at work, right? So let's pick up again in Acts 4. We'll read verses 15 through 19. Acts 4:15 says, "But when they had commanded them to go outside of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who are in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name.' So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you be the judge.'" So these leaders of Israel, religious leaders, right? These aren't just governmental leaders. These are religious leaders of Israel. They acknowledge that a great miracle has been done. They see that this person has been healed. And their response is, because Peter and John were preaching in Jesus' name, we need to threaten them and tell them not to preach in Jesus' name anymore, because they were seeing the power was shifting over to the apostles and Peter and in Jesus' name instead of them being in power. They had their eyes closed, right? They needed to open up their eyes. The part you've all been waiting for, the conclusion. We're getting there, I promise you. Okay, so we've talked about some examples there, but, you know, what's the point of all this? Is the point of all of it just to talk about some lyrics of a song and to remind ourselves of a few stories in the scriptures? Hopefully not. So we'll try to bring this home and make it more than just talking about those things. So that was in my truck again, on the way to work, thinking about all this. So if I need to open up my eyes, what does that mean? What do I need to do? So I've changed jobs recently. I don't have as far to drive from work. I had used that time. I used to drive about 40 minutes in the morning and the evenings. I would use that time to listen to the Bible, and I could get through it a lot, multiple times every year. Well, I'm driving half the distance. So part of me opening up my eyes is trying to figure out, well, how am I going to be able to read the Bible that much, even though I don't drive that much? So that's part of it. I also use some of that time, quiet time, for prayers. Don't have that much time anymore. So how am I going to do that? I've got to open my eyes, and I've got to figure out what I can do there. What I can't do is just continue to think about, well, how far I've come or how I've matured thus far in my relationship with God and with other people. I've got to keep moving. I've got to keep looking forward. I've got to keep pressing on, if you will. So that's the last scripture we're going to look at. That's Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. So Paul, writing to the Philippians here, says, "Not that I've already attained, or am I already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." So, pressing forward, moving forward. Paul here mentions that he's not going to think about the past. You know, we know about Paul. Paul was I would call him a Jew's Jew, right? I mean, he was in the upper echelon. He was a Pharisee. He had it all going for him, right, before he decided to follow Christ. So he gave up all of that. He had all those things in his past that he could dwell on. And then also, some of the things Paul could dwell on was all his accomplishments in Christ, right? Paul had been many places for the cause of Christ. He had preached many sermons in the cause of Christ. He had seen many people converted. Lots of churches in different cities began there because of his efforts. So he could have been thinking about those things, but he didn't. He said he was going to press on. He was going to think about those things that he needed to keep doing. So the question that we have to ask ourselves then is, you know, maybe how do you need to open your eyes? I can't answer that question for you, you know. You're going to have to answer that question. Some of the things I thought about here apply to me as well. You know, could we be better Bible students? Could we do that? Could we give God more time in our week than just maybe a little bit on Sunday morning or Wednesday evening? Here's one for me as well. Could we not treat God like a genie in a bottle who gives us our wishes when we rub on the bottle? You know, do I need to open up my eyes and everything? God is not just somebody who I come to when I'm in need, but I need to be coming to him all the time. Maybe you're here this morning and this gospel stuff is kind of new to you. Maybe you don't know too much about Jesus. Maybe you don't know what it means to be a follower of Jesus. So, you know, maybe you can open your eyes in that way and learn a little bit more. If you've got questions about what this means to be a follower of Christ, there's plenty of people here. If you stay around afterwards, we'd be happy to answer your question about what does it mean to follow Christ. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you know what it means to be a follower of Christ. Maybe you know all of the stories, and maybe you know everything that you need to do to put Christ on, and you haven't done it. The waters of baptism are here. They're ready. Like Mike said last week, I think, check them out. They're warm, good. The waters are ready. So the question is, are you ready? You know, are you ready to open up your eyes? And Casey's ready to come and lead us in a song. Would you stand while we sing?